We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Yeah.
Welcome back to Camel X, Overnight America. Brad Young sitting in for Ryan Recker. Normally at this point, Ryan Recker would be probably singing along. And in fact, if you remember, he and producer Mike had a bet on the outcome of the hockey game tonight. One of the suggested outcomes for the loser of the bet was to sing all the lyrics for the Friday song, but that was vetoed. My idea was that the loser would have to eat live, or at least raw, octopi on the air, since since the Detroit Red Wings fans are known for throwing octopi or octopus on the ice rink. So I suggested that. They didn't like that either. So they'll be coming up with something, because Recker lost and he'll be doing something in the next few weeks. But in any event, Brad Young sitting in because Ryan was at the hockey game this evening. So I'm sure he's enjoying an unusually early bedtime this evening. So I'm glad that you, though, have not, and you're with us this evening, Brad Young. I'll be with you for another hour. And in the previous hour, we talked about a lot of different legal issues. And I wanted to go forward with that issue because a poll came out this week. A lot of information came out this week regarding autonomous vehicles. And so one of the things that came out was a poll. According to AAA, they did a poll, 2,000 people nationwide, and they asked the following question. Would you be afraid to ride in an autonomous vehicle? Would you be afraid to ride in an autonomous vehicle? 71% of Americans said yes, that they would be afraid to ride in an AV, driverless vehicle, or an autonomous vehicle. So my question, before we get into some of these other issues, would you be afraid to ride in an autonomous vehicle? If one pulled up at the corner and said to you, hop in, and there's nobody behind the wheel, but you know what? It's okay because Google's driving. I mean, is that something you would be comfortable with? If you'd like to comment on that, I'd certainly like to hear it. 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Mike's been holding for a while about the Electoral College, and I kind of teased that issue in the prior hour. Mike, welcome to Camel X.
How you doing, Brian?
It's Brad. I'm doing great, sir. Thank you.
Oh, I'm sorry. I meant to say, I changed your name. I'm sorry about that.
That's right. You can call me anything you want, and the only thing I ask is don't rap.
Okay. But the Electoral College, this is my opinion. I'm not a Democrat, okay? So we can't generalize to all Democrats, and I am against the Electoral College. And I'll give you a good example. I think the majority should win. Let's say me and you are playing basketball, and the one who gets 10 shots wins, or who gets the most shots or tie wins. And let's say you get all 10 shots, and I miss three. So 10-7, I lose. You win by the majority. It should be that way.
Yeah, but let me put it a different way, Mike. What happens in? Are you a baseball fan?
Not really, but go ahead.
Okay, you know about the World Series, right?
Yes.
Okay, you've heard of the World Series. Well, why don't we change the World Series? So even though it's a 7-game series, if one team scores 15 runs in the first game, but they lose the other 6 games, then they would still win the World Series because they scored the most runs. Would that be fair to you?
No, that's like mixing apples with oranges.
No, it's the same thing, Mike. Political. It's the same thing because the issue that we have is if we do away with the Electoral College, and if we do away with that, then they're basically New York and Illinois and California is going to determine the outcome of every election, and that's not something we want. Mike, we got a lot of other folks holding on, so I appreciate you calling. Hey, listen,
I got to tell you real,
Mike, I'm sorry. We got to go. We got folks holding. Gary's been holding for a long time. Gary, welcome to Camo X.
Taking my call.
You're welcome. What's on your mind this evening?
So we were talking about driverless vehicles. Absolutely. Yep. If one showed up and said, hop in, I would jump right in because technology is far better than just humans and all the distractions going on these days. People are looking at their phones and fooling with the radio and yelling at their kids and eating Big Macs. I'd say even though technology is not 100% perfect, it's still way better than human drivers.
You make a good point, Gary, and I don't necessarily disagree with you. One of the things that I've read studies about how many car accidents are caused by drunk drivers, how many car accidents are caused by people checking Facebook while they're driving, the distractions that we face as drivers are immense. And, of course, autonomous vehicles wouldn't have any of those issues. So from your perspective, you would be cool with that.
Yes, absolutely. And think about the productivity. I could be riding down the road, taking a nap, working on my computer, you know, actually FaceTiming with people and letting the car just drive itself. And it would be, you know, I do all those things now while I'm driving. Just kidding.
No. Listen, if you do those things now, Gary, I want you to know something. My full name is J. Bradley Young, and I am always open to be listed as the beneficiary on your life insurance policy. Okay.
All right. That sounds good. I wrote that down. I'm gonna fill it in on my form.
Write that down, but don't do that while you're driving, Gary, because we don't want you to have a wreck, at least until you update your insurance by adding me as a beneficiary. Then, you know, feel free.
Absolutely.
All right, Gary.
Thanks again.
Thanks for calling in this evening. Appreciate your comment. Rich has, I think, a different perspective. Rich, what's on your mind as far as the issue of autonomous cars?
No. One simple word, no. Take a perfect example, the 737. Grounded. Two crashes. And Boeing has been building airplanes since the end of World War One. And mm-hmm. World War One last year was the 100th anniversary of it ending.
So that's an interesting comparison. So you're bringing in the Boeing issue, and even though these planes were not flying by themselves, and we can all agree that planes are far more complex than cars, but even in this situation, even a plane that has a pilot flying it, because of the complexity and the way that technology can go wrong, we've got two consecutive crashes, and Boeing's under the microscope. What would happen if planes were flying by themselves without pilots? We would have more crashes. Your point is we would have the same situation with automobiles.
Yeah, I mean, it's a software hiccup. Somewhere, the software is telling the plane, let's go down.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm reminded of in one of the things, again, I'm a tech nut, Rich, and I know you've probably used computers a lot recently too, and one of the things that used to drive me crazy about Windows was that you would have to push the start button, you know, to turn the thing off, and I never really understood that. But hey, we're on a break here, Rich, so I'm going to have to let you go. Appreciate you calling in this evening.
Thank you.
Thank you. When we come back, I'm going to talk some more about this autonomous vehicle issue, because there's criminal issues, there's civil liability issues, there's personal safety issues, lots of things that we just don't hear. We always hear about the cool tech part, but we never hear about what happens if this tech doesn't work properly. And that's what I want to talk about this the rest of this hour. And again, if you've got some thoughts or comments, we'd like to hear it. 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120 on Overnight America, KMOX. Welcome back to Camo X, Brad Young, and I don't think the Beatles were talking about Google when they said, baby, you can drive my car, but certainly that's where we are today. And I mentioned this poll, 71% of Americans are literally afraid to ride in an autonomous vehicle. And it's interesting, on some of the calls that we received this evening, some were for it or some were for it and some were against it, as the saying goes. And certainly if you've got an opinion or you got an idea on whether you would like to drive or ride in an autonomous vehicle or a driverless car, give us a call, 314-436-7900. I wanted to put producer Ben on because, now, Ben, you have a unique perspective. You were telling me during the break that you're involved with the high school robotics competitions.
Yeah, I've been involved with FIRST Robotics for 16 years almost now. And I've watched high schoolers for the last 16 years build some amazing robots, some amazing machines. The first part of every match that they play in the competition, like the first 30 seconds, completely autonomous, completely pre-programmed. The kids basically stand back, literally stand back like 6 inches to a foot away from the controls. And when the match starts, the robot does its thing. And then after 30 seconds, they take over and start actually operating the robots.
So you've been seeing kids build these robots for 16 years, and there's certain, as you just said, a certain part of this is autonomous. How would you feel about riding in an autonomous vehicle today?
So here's the thing. For autonomous vehicles or self-driving vehicles to work, everyone has to be in them. And I say that because when you eliminate the human error factor, then you're relying on the vehicles to get you from point A to point B. And the vehicles would have the programming to be self-aware of other vehicles on the road. Now, there was a terrible incident in Arizona when someone got hit by one. But after they did a lot of research on the situation, they discovered that there was a lot of factors that they weren't previously aware of putting into the programming. Color choice at night, lighting situation. Right. Like, there was a whole lot of things that went into what happened there. Would I ride in an autonomous vehicle? The short answer is yes. The long answer is no. The long answer is no, because if not everyone is doing it,
yep,
then it's not going to have that safety factor. Because, yes, I can do whatever I want in the autonomous vehicle, but if not everybody's driving the autonomous vehicle, then I don't know what's going to happen when someone else is coming down the street.
So as I hear your perspective on it, Ben, and I appreciate your perspective because you have a unique perspective coming from the robotics background that you have, but as I hear your perspective, you're saying if all the cars on the roads were autonomous vehicles, you'd be okay with that because all of the cars would be self-aware, they would be operating within known parameters, and because of that, you think there would be a heightened safety factor. But what I'm also hearing you say is that if we've got a mix, like one out of every 10 vehicles is an autonomous vehicle, the human factor is such that from your perspective, it would make it more dangerous having a mixture of autonomous and regularly driven, human-driven automobiles.
Exactly.
Wow, that's an interesting perspective. And I fully think, and according to AAA, they think by the year 2030 that there will be 4.5 million autonomous vehicles on the road. So, Ben, it'll probably be a while before we're at a point where all cars are autonomous, but I assure you that we're going to be dealing with this issue in just a couple of years. So I appreciate your perspective on that. One of the things that Ben brought up was the situation in Tempe, Arizona. It happened almost exactly 1 year ago. But it's interesting that this week there were two stories that came out about this very issue. First of all, the Yavapai County attorney made a letter public stating that there was no basis for criminal liability against Uber. So in other words, when this accident happened a year ago in Arizona, they've been investigating this situation for a year. When I say they, I mean the Yavapai County State's Attorney's Office has been investigating this accident, because there's going to be civil issues and there were potentially criminal issues. So they looked into it and they found that there was no basis for criminal liability against Uber because Uber was testing their self-driving vehicles in Arizona. But here's what I think is interesting. The Yavapai County State's Attorney said that the conduct of the backup driver was in question. Now, let me explain what that means. When Uber launched this pilot program in Arizona to test self-driving Uber vehicles, they didn't want just completely driverless, a car shows up, there's nobody in it kind of a situation, because it's new technology. It was untested technology. And when I say untested, it had been tested a lot, but it was untested in the open environment of driving in the real world. So what they did was is that they mandated, Uber mandated, that there had to be a backup driver in the car so that if there was any accidents or if there were any difficult situations, you know, it started raining, the car wasn't handling properly, whatever situation might arise, because it was in the testing phase, Uber required a backup driver. Now, this part, I think, is fascinating. The backup driver, his name was Rafael Vasquez. The Yavapai County State's Attorney said that the conduct of the backup driver, Mr. Vasquez, should be referred to the Tempe Police Department for additional investigation. Because here's what they found, and I think this is so demonstrative of human nature. Here's the backup driver. He's actually in the front seat behind the steering wheel, but the Uber autonomous vehicle is driving itself. So what is Mr. Vasquez doing? Well, we know exactly what he was doing because he was on his phone at the time of the accident. So the car struck and killed a pedestrian that was in a pedestrian walkway as she was crossing the street. But the backup Uber driver wasn't paying attention. And in fact, it's interesting that expert analysis came in here. And what they did is that the police department sent out subpoenas. And they subpoenaed his phone records. And they found that he was watching Hulu. And then the police department and the state's attorney's department subpoenaed Hulu and found out that the backup driver, Mr. Vasquez, was watching The Voice for a stream of 42 minutes, including up to the moment of the accident itself. So that demonstrates, not that these cars are not safe. I'm not trying to suggest that they aren't safe. What I'm suggesting is that we as a society haven't thought through the ramifications from a legal perspective because we've been so focused on the cool technological perspective. And that's the part that I've discussed often with colleagues, and I've discussed this with law professors, because there's just not a lot of legal thought that's being put into this as we rush into it. And that's why I gave the example earlier, one of my favorite movies of all time, Jurassic Park. And Michael Crichton, I've read every novel of Michael Crichton's. I love all of his novels. And even the novels that were published posthumously were fabulous, and I miss him, and he was a very challenging writer, made me think and challenged perspectives. I just thoroughly enjoy almost every Michael Crichton movie, Congo, or the novels, Congo, not so much, but the others were very good. But one of the lines from Jurassic Park, spoken by that great philosopher king, Jeff Goldblum, when he said that we spent so much time figuring out if we could that we never stopped to think if we should. So I'm not suggesting that driverless or autonomous vehicles are wrong or improper or we shouldn't have them. But here's an excellent example. The guy is supposed to be the backup driver. He was watching The Voice on Hulu on his phone, and somebody died because of it. And so criminal charges are not being pursued against Uber, but criminal charges are being recommended against Rafael Vasquez, who was the backup driver. So that's going to be investigated. And I suspect that before the year is out, we will get some additional information on that. I'm not sure, Ben, who we have holding air on line one? That's okay. We'll just take him. Welcome to Camo X. Okay, we had a little technical difficulties here. Kevin, I think, is holding. Kevin, welcome to Camo X.
Yeah, it just seems like everybody is so engrossed with new technological stuff, and it's supposed to make everything better, and all I see is it keeps making everything worse. Everybody wants everybody to, you know, wants something to do everything for them. Mm-hmm. We might as well start cloning people and making robots and just eliminate ourselves. I mean, why can't we drive our own cars? Why can't we wash our own windows? Why can't we vacuum our own floor? Now we got to have some little thing goes around and vacuums the floor.
You don't have a Roomba, Kevin? You're not a Roomba user, I take it.
No, I'm too Doomba to use a Roomba. Yeah, I don't know. I think we're going forward, and I see in my 59 years of life, I see all we do is keep going backwards. Everybody still kids me about my flip phone. It's like, my goodness, 20 years ago, that was like, you know, something off the Jetsons.
Yeah.
The Apple Watches that came out that people can talk into like it's a phone. Good golly, Dick Tracy had those back in the 50s. So,
well, Kevin, I hate to tell you this, my friend, but the 1990s called and they want their phone back.
Yeah, well, they can't have it because I got a tight grip on it. Actually, I had the pre. This is actually my new flip phone.
Oh, that's the
other one.
Wait, Kevin, you can't use the term flip phone and new in the same sentence. That you can't.
Well,
do that.
I can because I went to a local store. I won't give them a free advertisement. Not that they need it, but and bought it and paid for it, and it works just like the other one did. The other one was 8 years old. It's funny, though, all the ones with the new ones, they can do so many things on them. Like you said, the backup Uber driver or whatever was on his phone watch. You can do so many things on them, but you can't drive a car properly when you're on them.
Well, hey, Kevin, I hate to interrupt you, buddy, but we're up against a hard break, so we're going to have to go. I appreciate you calling in this evening. Thanks for listening. When we come back from the break, I'm going to talk about some of the civil liability issues with these autonomous vehicles. So I hope you're enjoying this conversation. Don't go away. We'll be back on Overnight America on KMOX. Welcome back to KMOX. Brad Young sitting in on Overnight America. I'm glad you're with us this evening. We've been talking about this issue with autonomous vehicles. And I mentioned that there were no criminal charges filed as a result of that accident from a year ago, but it took a year to make that decision. The state's attorney's office from Tempe, Arizona, just made that determination this week that no criminal charges were going to be filed against Uber, although they are investigating criminal charges against the backup driver because he was streaming Hulu and watching The Voice instead of paying attention, and someone died because of that. But what's also interesting this week is that the family of the woman who was killed, they filed a lawsuit. Now this is the part that I also find interesting. They filed a lawsuit this week, not against Uber, but they filed a lawsuit against the city of Tempe and the state of Arizona. Now, the most logical question is, why didn't they sue Uber? It seems like Uber would be the most likely defendant in a case like this. Well, they would be, and in fact, they were. But what's interesting is that what's uncommon in legal circles, no one ever accuses the legal system of moving quickly. Never happens. But in this instance, I believe as I researched this today, Uber settled within 3 weeks of this accident. So it was an undisclosed amount. We don't have any idea as to how much the family received from Uber, but it's safe to say it was a lot of money. I'm sure it was, because not only did it resolve the litigation, but Uber also wanted to buy the silence of these individuals, at least as it applies to allegations against Uber. So that case was settled within about 3 weeks of the accident. But the family filed their lawsuit against the city of Arizona and or the state of Arizona and the city of Tempe. Now, here's the allegations. According to the pleadings filed, the state of Arizona passed laws and allowed Uber and others to conduct experiments with driverless automobile technology on Arizona roadways and on Arizona citizens, including the decedent Elaine Herzberg. And so they are challenging what plaintiffs and their counsel believe is the careless and imprudent manner in which the state transportation authorities allowed this experimental technology to be used on the Arizona roadways. So in essence, what they're alleging is this. In the civil case, they're alleging that the state of Arizona and the city of Tempe, in their rush to allow Uber to come in and experiment on the Arizona highways and roadways with their driverless Uber technology, that they were careless, that they were negligent, they didn't put into place the correct regulatory mechanism to make sure that the cars were sufficiently sophisticated enough to make sure that this didn't happen. So this litigation is going to take about at least a year and a half, maybe 2 years. So we're going to get to see the very first example of how the legal system deals with liability associated with autonomously driven vehicles or driverless vehicles. So we don't know how that's going to turn out. We don't know what kind of jury verdict's going to come in. There's issues involving what we call sovereign immunity. That's a fancy way of saying the king can do no wrong. It's a term that comes from British common law, sovereign immunity. So we don't know in this instance whether the state of Arizona and the city of Tempe can even be sued. I suspect that they can, but I'm sure that that will be one of the issues that's raised as a defense in this litigation. But the greater and the broader issue that we have, and that's the issue that I want to talk about for a few minutes, but before I get into those issues, I think we've got a caller that's been holding, Ben. Who do we have here? Bree. Hey, Bree, welcome to Camo X.
Hello?
Hey, Bree, you're on Camo X. Good evening.
Oh, thank you. I think that there's already been a case that has come up that was decided by the Connecticut Supreme Court on March the 14th, which is against Remington. It was the suit that was filed by Sandy Hook families. There was 9 of them. And the judge awarded them to be able to continue with their lawsuit against Remington. Now, their lawyer said that challenges the federal liability protection, which is called protection of lawful commerce.
Right, but you're talking about the firearms litigation, not the autonomous vehicles, correct?
Well, yes, but it's the same thing because they are suing a wrongful death suit against Remington, who is the manufacturer of the AR-15, and wasn't necessarily even the store that sold it,
mm-hmm.
or had anything to do, with Lanza, the 20-year-old that pulled the trigger of that gun in that school.
Sure, and the basis of that litigation, Bree, and I don't have it in front of me, but I'm very familiar with it, was essentially that the AR-15 is a dangerous product in of itself, regardless of who's using it or how it's being used. It's an inherently dangerous product, and therefore there's liability that would go against Remington because of their manufacturing of the product. So you're thinking that is similar to the situation with self-driving vehicles, that perhaps the cars, there would be liability on the manufacturer because they made the product even if it wasn't necessarily a problem that caused the accident, but just the inherent nature of the manufacturer should be liable?
If someone gets out and commits a vehicular homicide and someone sues and the victim sues him, but doesn't sue the driver of the car, but instead sues General Motors because they manufactured the car, is that the same thing?
Well, and that's a great question. In fact, I'll answer your question off air for you, but I appreciate you calling in this evening. Thank you. Here's the question, and Bree raises a great question. Is it the same situation? And it's a very similar, even though, there's always the example of comparing guns to butter. And so I don't want to compare guns to cars, but there is one area that there is a similarity here. And that is there liability for the manufacturer of the product simply because the product itself could be used in a dangerous or hazardous fashion? That's product liability 101. But what we have that's different here is that in this situation, there can be someone who can use the product. If you're talking about a rifle, someone can use it properly or they can use it for criminal purposes. But when we're talking about autonomous vehicles, the person could be using it exactly in the manner in which it was intended to be used. And that is, I don't want to have to drive the car, so I want to watch Hulu while I'm driving down the highway. In that situation, if there's a car accident, how would we handle the liability? This would go against the manufacturer. And when we come back from this break, I'm going to tell you how I think this issue is going to be resolved in the coming years. We don't have any set guarantee about this, but I've got some very strong opinions and ideas as to how this liability issue is going to be resolved as autonomous vehicles become commonplace in our society. Brad Young sitting in for Ryan Recker on Overnight America on KMOX.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. The life I love is making music with my friends. I can't wait to get on the road again.
Overnight America, Brad Young, sitting in for Ryan Recker. I'm glad you're with us this evening on KMOX. I mentioned earlier in the hour this poll that came out from AAA. 71% of Americans say that they would not be comfortable riding in an autonomous vehicle. But don't you see that statistic changing over time? I certainly do. I mean, if you look at any type of technology, there's a time frame that it takes for us to incorporate that technology as a society. Here's a great example, television. You know, television was actually invented. I think television was invented in the 1920s or 1930s. And the first TVs came onto the market. First television stations went on in the, I think, late 1940s. And then it wasn't until really the 1960s that almost every home started to have a television. So here's a technology that took 20 years. If you look at VCRs, VCRs were invented a long time ago, but it took, again, about 15 years between the time the technology was developed before it really became ingrained in our culture as something that we all use, that we all relied upon. Cell phones have been around. I had a brother-in-law, I should say an ex-brother-in-law, so that should tell you something. But I had a brother-in-law at some point in the 1970s. He had a cell phone in his car. Now, it wasn't a cell phone like what you and I had. It was really more of what was called a radio phone. He had a big old antenna on the back of his van, and he would broadcast to, and he had a service, and it was probably enormously expensive, but he had this cell phone, and he could actually make phone calls on it. And I don't even want to know how much wattage was coming out of that antenna when he was broadcasting, because there weren't any cell towers then. So there was the technology. The technology was actually invented, I think, in the 60s. But it took until the 1990s before just about everybody started having cell phones. So we're on the very early cusp of autonomous vehicles and self-driving vehicles. So it doesn't surprise me that 71% of Americans would be afraid to ride in one. I would not be. I would get into an autonomous vehicle, mainly because I've got lots of life insurance. No, I'm kidding. But it wouldn't bother me to get into it. I wouldn't be afraid necessarily for my life. But when you look at the pleadings that were from the civil case that we've talked about, the pleadings that were filed make the point that the city of Tempe and the state of Arizona, they were negligent because they failed to make the roadway safe. They allowed autonomous vehicles to operate on public roadways in an unsafe manner. And according to the pleadings, the state negligently conducted or performed oversight over this program. So this is the first lawsuit that I'm aware of. We had Bree who called in talking about the Remington lawsuit, but that was against a gun manufacturer, product liability case. But perhaps there's another one. I'm not promising that there isn't, but to the best of my knowledge, this is the first case that we've seen filed challenging the liability that's associated with an autonomous vehicle. Now, think about it. You might be in a car right now, and if you're not, you probably either own a car or drive one on a regular basis. You have to have auto insurance. It's required by the state, and if you don't have automobile insurance, you can't get a driver's license. So it's required to have that insurance. But how would that work? And rather, we know how that works. If you're in an automobile accident, if you're stopped at a stoplight and I'm checking Facebook and my car rear-ends your car, I'm going to get sued. You're going to come after me, and my insurance carrier is going to pay you some money, and then my premiums are going to go up because of it. That's how it works, and all of us are comfortable and familiar with that process. But how would that work if there were two autonomous vehicles that collided? Who's at fault? So it challenges our entire notion of what is insurance, what does it cover, and how does it work? And so what I see happening is one of two things, and this might take a few years before we know which of these two competing concepts will take place. But I see primarily two things happening. First, car manufacturers who are making these cars, they could potentially become our de facto insurance carrier. And let me use Tesla for an example. I like Elon Musk. He's the modern-day Iron Man, Tony Stark, and so I like him. And he's an inventor, and he's a big thinker, and we need more people like him because that's what drives technology forward. And from his perspective, if he sells you a Tesla, if you go out and buy a Tesla tomorrow and that car fails to operate properly, who's at fault for that? Most likely it's going to be the manufacturer of the product legally. And so in that instance, it's not as if you're at fault, so you don't necessarily have to have insurance. If you're not even driving the car, it would be the manufacturer of the car that would have to have that coverage. So think this through for just a moment. I know sometimes it's hard to think big thoughts when it's at 1 o'clock in the morning, but think this through, because if that's going to be the case, then the car manufacturer is going to have to add in the cost of insurance when they sell you the car. So the lowest level Tesla that's being sold now, I think it's called the Model S, is going on sale for about $35,000. So if there has to be insurance coverage for that, then Tesla might have to charge $40,000 to cover the insurance for if the car doesn't work properly and they get sued, they're going to have to buy out and buy insurance for that. So it's interesting that in the world of autonomous vehicles, we may not have car insurance any longer. It may be a situation where the manufacturer builds that into the price of the product. So when you go buy a Tesla or a Ford or a Chevy or a Cadillac or whatever, and all of those cars are different makes and models, all of the manufacturers would have to provide insurance coverage to cover in case, you know, like the joke I made earlier, that you've got the left turn signal on and the windows down so the engine stops, or, you know, one of those weird computer kind of things, okay? If it's that situation, the manufacturer is going to have to cover that. That's scenario one. The downside, as I see that, is it adds to the cost of the vehicle. The second thing that I see, and it's still going to be a cost of the vehicle, but what I think is a better model has to do with vaccines. Now, I know you're thinking, what on earth does vaccines have to do with autonomous vehicles? Couldn't get two things that are more different. But let me tell you a little bit about the vaccine process from a liability perspective, and then I'm going to show you why I think it fits into the model of cars quite nicely. If you go and get your vaccine, you get a flu shot. Most of us do, and if you don't, you should. What happens if you get sick from that flu shot? Under federal law, which preempts state law in this area, you cannot sue the manufacturer of the flu vaccine. If you develop some sort of a weird disease or a reaction or condition, you call my office. Of course, I don't do plaintiff's work, but you call my law office and ask me, hey, Brad, I want to sue Acme Company because they've made the flu shot that I took, and I took this flu shot, and now I've got hair growing all over my body in places where it shouldn't be. So what are we going to do about it? So the first thing I'm going to tell you is, well, you can't sue the manufacturer of the flu shot, because under federal law, they have immunity from all litigation. Now, part of you says, well, wait a minute, that doesn't seem very fair. I can't sue the manufacturer of the product. That product made me sick. That product made me ill. And now I can't sue them. That doesn't seem right. That doesn't seem just. And it doesn't seem fair. But here's what happens. Whenever you pay for a flu shot, there's a small fee that goes into that, that goes into a federal fund that covers the litigation associated with flu vaccines. So if you have a bad reaction, you can make a claim against the vaccine fund and get some sort of compensation if you can prove that there's a causal relationship. My point being is that it spreads the cost of liability out over everyone that has a flu shot. So therefore, if someone has the occasional bad reaction to a flu shot, they can be covered. But it doesn't mean that the flu shot manufacturers get sued out of business like the manufacturers who made breast implants, like the manufacturers who've made asbestos. All of those companies were sued out of existence because of litigation. That's not something that we want to happen in the flu manufacturing or flu shot manufacturing. That's not something we want to have happen with cars either. We have just a couple of minutes left, but I think we got a call in. Welcome to Camo X. Hello.
Hello.
Yep. Welcome to Camo X. What's on your mind? We've only got a couple of minutes left. What's on your mind?
Okay. Real quick, analogies as far as
being sued by this company going to that company. I mean, we can basically sue the farmer that grew the grain, that sold it to a distiller, that sold it to a liquor distributor, that sold it to a bar, that somebody drank and killed somebody driving drunk.
Well,
is that, you know, I mean, come on.
I know your point is, how far do we take the litigation? And that's
exactly.
really my point, is that we can't have that kind of litigation with the manufacturer of autonomous vehicles, because if we do, no one's going to make the product. Hey, we've only got a minute left, so I appreciate you calling in this evening. Thank you. In the last minute that we have left, I want to finish this thought, because just like the flu manufacturer, the flu shot manufacturer, if we had a national fund where we paid in, the Teslas and the Fords and the Chevys could all still manufacture the products, and there would still be coverage. People wouldn't have to go without coverage, because that would be paid for when you buy the product. I hope that was something that's interesting to you. It's not something I've read very many places, but I think it's extremely relevant as we're going to see more and more autonomous vehicles coming into play and dealing with them on the highway. I'm Brad Young, sitting in for the vacationing Ryan Recker. Actually, as you know, he was at the hockey game tonight, and I hope he had a good time, and he's going to get an unusual early night's sleep. Overnight America, Brad Young on Camo X.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.